Oh, nice to get wasted in the morning. How about you? Getting a bit high there? Had a hangover?
Don't know what you're talking about. I'm sober. I'm sober as hell, man. Not get. You can piss test me if you want. Please don't piss test me. Please don't piss test me.
No worries, dude. We all get piss tested before we get on our jobs, bro. Well, the reason why we did that little bit for everyone, to try to attract people to see it. But this day, we're going to be doing a one about drugs. Yep. I know alcohol's often excluded in this debate, but we're going to include that too. With Skinny E Media and Bobotron, as usual.
Hey.
Absolutely. From
Howdy doody, everybody.
Reefer Madness all the way to that Denzel
Trainspotting.
Washington movie Flight and Euphoria. We're going to be talking about The Dirty, and this might be one of our most controversial podcasts you could imagine, because a
Should
lot of
be.
these substances are Class A, Class B, and you could be doing quite a bit of time for them.
Yeah, you shouldn't do though. Let's face, I mean, we can get into politics on the more and the ethics of drug laws later on, but yeah, just my little tidbit there, as you were, Mark.
Well, that's why we have these podcasts, talk about our views on certain things and also censorship policy in the grander scheme of things, film or society otherwise. So, as often we always do, what was your experience growing up with drug or substance abuse, alcoholism in movies or TV?
Well, not much. Didn't really view a lot of that stuff when I was a kid. I mean, I watched Die Hard quite a few times, and Harry Ellis, the yuppie character, is always doing coke, but it's very, very subtly done, and you don't pick up on it as a kid. I don't think I've really seen a huge amount. I saw Pulp Fiction when I was 14, and of course, there's that scene where John Travolta is shooting up. And of course, Mia is doing coke, and then she gets a coke mixed up with a smack, and then has an OD. Other than that, most of my familiarity with drugs growing up, actually, as a kid, was when I used to listen to music and both the bands that me and my brother used to listen to. There was like Guns N' Roses used to sing, do drugs time and sing about drugs and all that shit, and there was this other band named Green Jelly. Was a comedy band who mentioned how one of the little pigs was ganja smoking and had another song called Tripping on Ecstasy and stuff like that. Obviously, most of the stuff that would have really been involved about drugs would, of course, be in the Saturday morning cart. Saturday morning, sorry, I had to mute myself when I sneezed. Had the Saturday morning cartoons I would have watched, which would have been the 80s and 90s, would have been heavily in leaning in on the war on drugs propaganda, as did a lot of movies actually back then, such as Die Hard 2. So yeah, so that's probably a lot of there's probably a lot of the my experiences. I didn't see Human Traffic till I was 18. That's probably the first movie I saw that basically very flippantly dealt with recreational drug use like that. Of course, that's not as controversial nowadays as it was back then because people are moving on.
Well, it was at the height of the acid house craze. It died down a fair bit because it came out, I believe, in 98, 99. Because I remember seeing ads for it
No,
on
I think.
YouDirect. And, well, for a little bit of British history out there, acid house was quite a big thing. But it's one of the most demonized music genres in the planet outside of hip hop and metal music because of the drug connotations associated with it. So anytime you see people with those smiley faces in yellow, uh-oh, they may be doing ecstasy or MDMA.
Yeah, my brother was massively into that stuff during the 90s. He would go out to all these raves in Bristol and everything, and he would come back and he would be high off his damn tits. I mean, they would basically be dropping a ecstasy bomb. But then, yeah, the 90s were probably peak time for recreational drug use, which is ironic considering the backlash to it. Contrary to popular belief of the 60s and 70s and people doing drugs, I mean, yeah, the 90s were probably the most especially with Gen X being probably the most hedonistic generation of the past. And it's true that since then, and time's gone on, and younger generations such as us millennials and definitely Zoomers underneath are a lot less hedonistic.
Well, I mean, attitudes towards cannabis have certainly been a lot different than when I was growing up, and certainly when you were growing up too. But to reel it back in for everyone, my personal experience with drug or substance abuse in movies is a bit of an unusual one, because music-wise, I was never really told I couldn't listen to certain bands or songs. I mean, I've been hearing parental advisory music since the late 90s. It was never really a big deal. But when it came to films and TV, it was. I couldn't watch Trainspotting growing up, even though I wanted to listen to the soundtrack so badly, because I already knew what the songs were, like Underworld's Born Slippy, and Primal Scream's song that references the title. Those were big hits growing up for me. And obviously, like you said, Human Traffic and Sorted, Southwest 9, those were also films in the late 90s and 2000s that I wanted to see but I couldn't see growing up. So, ultimately, my sort of rude awakening to drug use in movies, at the very least, was sort of when you get to the 12 level, and every now and then you'll get like a comedy that references cannabis. Slightly innocuous, but still, it can appear.
Well, apparently, in the first Karate Kid movie, they... the BBFC demanded the scene where Johnny's preparing a spliff to be cut out in order for a PG rating. And when that was left in, it was, at the time, increased to a 15 on video. But now, of course, they've dropped it all to a 12. So, obviously, references to weed are okay at 12. But then again, who's offended by weed nowadays? I mean, if you're offended by weed nowadays, you just get a fucking life, mate. I mean, silly. But, yeah, I mean... They can drug reference. You mentioned yourself in The Social Network. There's quite a few flippant drug references, which is a 12A rated film. There's also the TV series Close Enough, where you don't actually see them doing any drugs, but they do actually reference them and everything. Mostly cocaine or did they mention ecstasy? They mentioned them.
Well, it's an American cartoon, right? So it's probably likely to be cannabis and speed.
They might mention speed. I don't know.
We will use sort of street names as well for certain stuff, because most people who tend to be drug users, me, I don't. I drink alcohol on occasions. I'm very paranoid about what the government thinks. So often now and again, you have to sort of slip through the cracks and use codes. Kids to come out, man. Hey, it's Dave. I got the stuff. Don't the cops are gone, bro. Hey, it's Dave. I got the stuff. Oh, sorry. That's Cheech and Chong.
I have not seen that. Plus, of course, there's a whole thing of just asking for like it by its official scientific name on the street. Might just sound a bit awkward. I mean, no one's going to go up and ask for some amphetamines, are they?
No, Clarky Cat or Double Dippers.
Clarky Cat. What's a Clarky Cat, man?
Well, I mean, I could talk about Brass Eye if you like. That was, I think, very self-aware, very sort of in your face. And I thought, I wonder how Chris Morris is going to be able to respond to this, because there's a lot of jokes about people shooting up heroin in office at school, where people sort of get high off any substances they can imagine, sort of like hippie experimentation, and then watching him saying, vomiting, vomiting, vomiting. So if you're a builder or a black person, you better stay well away. Good night.
Well, that obviously does it all, because obviously they're mocking the fact that these drug lords are usually used to target either minorities or working class people. Obviously then, because rich people do drugs all the time and just get away with it.
Absolutely. Unfortunately, on BBFC policy, they do differentiate between sort of harder substances and softer ones. Or at least they used to back in the 2000s. But there's always that sort of class issue. But at the same time, that sort of throws itself out the window a little bit, because alcohol is drunk by everyone.
Yeah, but it's
see poor people and working class.
Yeah, but it's legal, and of course it's always been legal, apart from a few times here or there, and it's considered socially acceptable. So of course it's treated completely differently to most street narcotics, even though alcohol kills more than all of them combined.
Exactly. Tell that.
Don't get me started, tobacco.
That's often one we can talk about as well, even though in fairness, you can see people smoking in films as low as you. But there have been some campaigns that have said, in question, if you show this kind of drug use, you have to bump it up to 18. I'm like, well, that would mean films like Gone with the Wind and Casablanca and Maltese Falcon will all have to be 18 because it shows people smoking. Alice in Wonderland, Smoking Caterpillar. Uh-oh, give it an 18. We're smoking this.
Who the hell is making these campaigns? I've not heard of them before.
Well, it was a brief one for a moment. Unfortunately, I forget the name, but it was an anti-smoking campaign that wanted to request all these films that had tobacco consumption to be raised to the 18 certificate.
Well, that's stupid.
It's,
I mean, yeah, that's fucking stupid. I mean, I wouldn't demand to be to 18 if they were doing just doing heroin. But I mean, yeah, well, I'm gonna get on a rant on that one because I don't know where I'm going.
Amended by the great Greater Manchester Health Chiefs.
Dicks. I mean, of course, I met last week on our teen movie podcast. We mentioned Kevin Perry Go Large. And of course, that deals with some drug usage, albeit not a huge amount. And of course, apparently, Harry Enfield has said the reason why it got its 15 rating rather than its 12, at least that's what he says, but the BBFC notes don't suggest this, was just because of the drug usage.
Well, when I first saw it, I didn't quite pick up on the substance abuse. I focused too much on the erection jokes and the humping and bumping and that spunk one.
But that's funny.
In all fairness, it's a film that's more or less aimed at the 16 to 30 demographic, because Club 1830 was still quite a thing. So I'm not surprised. But at the same time, did the BBFC forget that there was a scene where a guy had an erection twice? It was like popping out, boing, a boing, and then there was this sort of joke about someone's jism.
That was the spunk bit. Yeah, I mean, that's in my sheets. What? Huh? Spunk.
I mean, it's funny, but you would think the BBC probably wouldn't know that first over, you know, what you would expect in a sort of a movie about electronic music and club culture. But people are likely to do a bit of the ecky.
Well, to be fair, when I heard it was going to be feature film based on a sitcom with a 15 rating, I did expect some risque material. I was surprised it was tame as it was, actually. Probably the bit where he said spunk was probably the strongest bit, because again, the word fuck is only mentioned 3 times in the whole movie, which of course, yeah, is pretty tame, and you can get away with that 12 a la Terminator 3.
Oh yes, of course. I mean, language wasn't much to write home about.
You ever listened to the stand-up routines of Bill Hicks?
Not very many, except ones where he sort of criticizes the US government and that whole Bill Hicks, Alex Jones connection that flips conspiracy theories around. It's funny, but but you were saying?
Well, just that he used to talk about drugs quite a lot. And of course, that was back when that DARE program by the US government, as well as the war on drugs in general, was at its peak, and anti-drug propaganda was quite rife. And but he used to like challenge the idea that like drugs were bad. I'm just trying to think of some examples. He did say quite a lot. He's obviously admitted that he did drugs and he had a really good time. He didn't rob anybody or rape anybody, he didn't beat anybody, he didn't murder anybody, he didn't lose one fucking job, laughed my ass off, and went about my day. Sorry. Then goes on to talk about where his commercial was, rather than all the anti-drug ones, like, this is your brain on drugs. Any questions? He would say things like, oh, drugs have actually done good things. If you don't think so, you should take all your records and CDs into the garden and burn them, because all the musicians who have made all that music over years have been fucking sky high on drugs. It's no secret that Beatles and the Stones have all been as high as a kite, as well as bands like Guns N' Roses and, well, I'd say Motley Crue, but they're not exactly a great band. As well as bands like Motorhead and even later bands that have gone today. I'm pretty certain Slipknot and Korn and many of other metal bands I've listened to in the later years have dabbled in their fair share of recreational drug use. I mean, artists tend to do that. Artists tend to be quite experimental about that kind of stuff. I don't always do. I don't think AC/DC have done that many drugs outside of a lot of beer. So kind of rambling a bit here, but the point is that like a lot of good artists, especially musicians, have generally done a lot of drugs, and it's not exactly a secret that when you think of a rock star and a rock star lifestyle, you tend to think of a lot of white powder. So it's a bit hypocritical to then enjoy all their music and then really can just flat out say, oh, drugs are bad and have nothing to offer.
No, but it's true. A lot of the great musicians have experimented in certain illegal substances while making their craft. I mean, I'm not guilty of it too, although the music I've made myself has mainly been done just through my own diseased imagination and a little bit of Baileys, maybe some Guinness or Blue Moon. But like Boards of Canada, for instance, one of my favorite bands. If you're very well known about electronic music or sort of chill out and trip hop, a lot of that is very much appreciated by the stoner LSD crowd. I mean, do you think most people who are listening to Boards of Canada or to some extent Osric Tentacles or Pink Floyd is listening to it
Pink
sober?
Floyd, huh?
So they're dabbling in psychedelic mushrooms, man.
Bands like Pink Floyd and Tool and Mastodon, for those who know, proggy bands and everything, anything that's got a title prog, you may listen to it sober, but a lot of people are going to want to take a hit of acid and then and have a good listen to that and everything. I've never actually done acid myself, not because I don't want to, just never got around to it, or no one's ever offered me any, and I've probably listen to it where it just blows your mind, man.
No, bro. I mean, these are the same people who watch Liquid Television or Adult Swim, Beavis and Butthead stuff. So, unfortunately, the kind of people, who, the kind of stuff that I like is appreciated by stoners and people who do acid and mushrooms. I
Well,
mean,
I mean,
at the same time, I don't even use it myself.
not exact. Yeah, they may be a bunch of lazy dicks, but they're not exactly these demonic individuals that everyone make the conservatives always make them out to be. And if we're talking about like stoner music, of course you've got a band like Cypress Hill, who are just basically the well stoner hip hop and everything, and well they're just basically the go to. Sorry, what was I saying? The go-to group everyone tends to think of when they think of smoking weed. Well, them and Snoop Dogg, I guess. Also, there's like a whole genre called stoner rock and stoner metal. I can't actually think of any freaking
Well, you'd be like Primus, and
Well, maybe. I don't know much about Primus, so I'm gonna go give you a maybe. There was a band
like
called Orange
Fish.
Goblin, who are kind of a stoner band. And also, I listened to a band called Cannabis Corpse, which were essentially just a weed themed tribute band to Cannibal Corpse, as if you couldn't tell. And of course, yeah, it's just all about getting high, just playing death metal, only around getting high. But then again, it's not exactly, again, it's not 1985 or even 1965. No one's shocked or offended or consider it edgy to be smoking weed right now.
No, at all. I mean, there's even some Republicans who are calling for its legalization too, although they might have a different motive, the profit motive.
I don't care what their motive was, as long as they get it fucking legal. But then that's in America. We try and get, I want to see if we can get it legal in Britain. And then when we're done that, we can legalize all other drugs while we're at it. I
Well,
mean, there's no fucking. Oh, come on. maybe I'm just being a bit of a libertarian here, but I mean, you know, it's not the government's business what we do and don't do with our own bodies, as long as we're not harming other people.
Exactly, my friend.
And alcohol does affect, alcohol affects non-participants, most of another, more, most other recreational street narcotics, especially cannabis, because, you know, to quote Bill Hicks, I have never seen two people, guys, on pot get in a fight, because it is fucking impossible. I don't know how my American accent comes across when I do that. Maybe this sounds really bad.
Well, it's probably a lot better than my American accent right there. Most of my American friends tell me, you still sound British. I'm like, shit.
All British-like. Water bottle.
Well, I'm not Andrew Tate. He's, you know, sorry to cut you off there, but Andrew Tate to me sounds like he's trying to do a Bristolian or West Country dialect, but it sounds a bit remote.
If I was going to put one, if I was going to give him any specific accent, and I'm not sure I would, because I don't know, it's probably going to be Bostonian.
Well, it sounds like he, I talk like this, like that, because I try to meet all the bitches, and I won't tell you to talk like that LA. And I'm driving my own car, but I'm being a damn friend, dude.
It just sounds like the weirdest Bristolian West Country dialect I've ever heard. And that's what makes me laugh about Cobra, Tate, God, whatever his name is. Please don't compare me to him. I know we're both British.
No and intention to.
A mixed race, but for the audiences out there, I don't prescribe to his misogyny. I have to make a few confessions myself as far as substance abuse is concerned. I used to like enjoying the smells of the petrol fumes at the petrol stations growing up.
Oh, dude, that's. I mean, okay, I suppose I can understand it, but I mean, I thought you were going to tell me about like your own us about your own history of use of recreational drugs.
Actually, I've never smoked cannabis. I've never done cocaine or acid, but I used to like the smell of petrol fumes. I am a serial cough drop user. I know, but you know, for some people they like to mix codeine and cocaine or God knows what with like cough syrup and gone or DXM, which I think is just really weird, like Lil Wayne and stuff. They call it drag. I don't use drag. I just do the cough drops because it also helps out with my saliva and dry mouth a bit. So I'm a bit guilty of not being as clean cut as people would expect. And also I smoked tobacco one time when I was 21. I had a cigar.
I felt weak. I don't, that's nothing to, sorry, I mean, that's nothing to hide. I mean, so you smoked tobacco once you were 21. I mean, you didn't do anything illegal there or anything you need to hide from anyone.
Well, I mean, it's just in all fairness, you know how I confess about, oh, I masturbated to this cartoon or I saw this underage. I'm doing it this time just to kind of purge my sins. Who needs to go to Catholic confession booth when you can go through a podcast here? And also, I'm a big sucker for Baileys. So if you've got a
you've
bottle of
it. Internalized a lot of that religious, mindset. And, like, if you feel you need to keep purging all these sins, Jesus, I haven't thought. I never give a shit about too much of that. I never feel the need to purge sins or anything.
Well, I was raised a little different.
Just mentality, that's it.
I'm not an atheist like you are, so I'm kind of obliged to. And you know, in all fairness, you know, we're talking about drug and substance abuse, censorship and stuff, and it is quite a very tricky topic because you have to. There's legal issues involved. Sometimes I even feel a bit guilty. Like, let's say, because I saw Cocaine Bear, right? Now, I didn't have that worry with seeing Cocaine Bear like I did with, let's say, seeing Taxi Driver or Four Lions, because it's already a known property, and people treat it as a comedy. It's sort of like a horror type of comedy about Bert that kills people while he's high. Now, in all fairness, that film should have been an 18, really, because it was just very graphic and gruesome.
Ooh, Cocaine Bear?
Yes. And I've got it.
No way, man. That's fine at 15.
Well, you'll actually be in the majority of people who voted at that focus group event that I was at the Cineworld in Greenwich that had one of the BBFC people in, and they were doing a survey to see, oh, was it appropriate 15 or 18? Most people said 15. And I was a little bit perplexed by it because, you know, there's a lot of scenes of people being dismembered and disemboweled.
By an animal!
The children are swallowing up the drugs by accident, but then they spit it off. Or, oh, I wonder what was the concern for the parents of the child actors there.
Well, first of all, it wasn't actually real cocaine or anything. And secondly, again, it's all done comedically. And it was all the deaths were killed by an animal. It's perfectly fine with it's 15. The comedic tone negates any form of violence anyway. So, yeah, I think you're really on your own there if you think it should be an 18.
Well, to me, 18 is a status symbol. It looks cool. It's kick-ass. And
yeah, but
it's got the word cocaine in it, so I thought,
But
that's class A.
This isn't like the 90s. This isn't Furman era. I mean, back in Furman era, maybe it would be, but we've moved on since then.
I suppose. I'll stop my little wrong-wing rant. It's just me trying to be a bit funny there. Also, because I went to the event and managed to get myself a nice kit with a cup, BBFC pins and badges, and a booklet from it because one of the members was there, and they said, oh, you're Skinny E Media. Nice to meet you. So that was one of the best events of my life. So Cocaine Bear will not be disappearing out of my head in the next 20 years, like, let's say, Drugstore Cowboy would, which I think was also 18, but that was more, you know, young people trying to do the pills. Well, I'll reel it back in a bit and talk about Reefer Madness. Have you seen it?
Nope, I have not seen it, but I have heard quite a bit about it. It's one of those old-timey anti-drug PSAs.
Yes, exactly. I'm not mistaken.
And it is absolutely... Well, it is absolutely what again? Yeah, absolutely renowned for its ridiculous, and it's for... I can't think of words. An absurd and hysterical just... What stories or things it tries to claim that cannabis will do to you and everything, and it's almost to the point of parody. Yeah, that's it. Yeah, thanks. There's always that saying, if you believe half the stuff they say weed will do to you, you have to be high.
Well, over the years, the film has become a milestone for stoners who are just looking to get a quick laugh out of it because of how cheesy and ridiculous it is. I mean, I've not seen it myself, but I've known people who have, and they've told me, yeah, it's actually best to watch it while stoned. I think people are watching it the same way as they're watching it, like The Big Lebowski, The Dude Bays, or the stuff people be obsessed about, like... Beavis and Butthead Do America, or Team America World Police. You know anyone who's watching that, unless they have a beer in their hand and some crisps, we would call like Lay's potato chips, and maybe a joint.
Oh yeah, totally. I mean, if we're going to talk about stoner comedies, I've just suddenly remembered there's the whole Kevin Smith's View Askewniverse movies that he's done from Clerks onwards.
Oh, absolutely.
And of course, the Jay and Silent Bob characters. Most importantly, Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back.
I mean, in all fairness, because we talked about that film last week, it's fine at 15, although the 18, I think it was probably based on precedent, because Clerks, but then again, Dogma was a 15, but I think Dogma is a lot less focused on drugs and more religion.
Prior to that, most, apart from Dogma, pretty much all his films were 18 rating, but now they've pretty much been systematically downgraded. I mean, Clerks is a 15, Mallrats is a 15, I don't know about Chasing Amy, I think that might still be an 18, I don't know if that's a 15 yet, I think it still retains its 18, but it's probably because it's not been resubmitted. Dogma, obviously, still always 15. And of course, most of the ones he's released since then have been 15s, like for two newest Clerks ones and the new Jane Saint Bob movie, and they've all been 15s. I don't know why I'm pretty certain if Strike Back was released again, resubmitted, it could get a 15. I mean, I'm not sure why they feel it should be needing a an 18 rating. I know there's some drug usage, but in there, you don't see any drug usage. And it says flippant remarks. And flippant remarks towards drugs. I'm not really into any reason to give something an 18. I mean, let's face it, any use of the only sort of drug references. Okay, there's the whole Doobie Snacks in there with the whole Scooby-Doo parody. And of course, there's the references to animal tranquilizers when they're in the testing lab. Because, oh, check this shit out, Lunchbox. Animal tranquilizers. This shit fucks you up. It's like, okay, my teenage self found that quite funny. But obviously, most of it is just Jay's rap at the beginning.
What if it is smoking weed? Most of us, I get the blood.
I swear to God, I can actually remember. Mark, I can memorize the whole damn thing. He goes, God almighty, I can't believe I just did that. But it's going to be cringe listening back to that later on.
I'll keep it in for everyone's humor purposes. I mean, I can sing a few songs myself from a few Simpsons episodes, but I won't get started there.
But yes, please don't.
In all fairness, it's a film that most 15, 16-year-olds would not be shocked or taken aback by. I mean, we're not talking about Zack and Miri Make a Porno, which is probably the Kevin Smith film I can think of that's well deserving of its 18.
Well, didn't you say it had to appeal its NC-17 ones?
Yep, it did. Well, obviously, because it's about sex. I mean, it's not some sort of hardcore 9-song sort of thing, but it is very raunchy.
Well, you do see some full frontal nudity and all that stuff. I mean, it's quite upsetting because it does take quite a lot for a sex comedy to get rated 18 nowadays. It's not most sex. The BBFC, for their credit, have got quite a good sense of humor, and if something's comedic, they'll generally come down softer on it.
No, you're absolutely right. I mean, I've seen some pretty raunchy films back in my day, including animations. You know, I always would assume if a comedy was 15, it was always going to have some jokes about some guys wanting to get laid with some chick, bro, or he, you know, drinks too much or smokes a doobie or says the F word a lot. You kind of have a preconception with a lot of these types of works. And they all seem to appeal to the same demographic anyways. I mean, what I would like to call the sort of Beavis and Butthead demographic of sort of 16, 15-year-olds who want some crazy shit, really.
Oh, that reminds me. You talk about Simpsons, about Beavis and Butthead, and then you talk about drugs. I just recently rewatched that hippie episode of The Simpsons.
Oh, Weekend at Burns.
Doll in the Wind.
Oh,
it's got George Carlin in.
Oh yes, I actually have that on DVD from series 10. It's actually a hilarious episode. I think it's a 12 certificate.
Well, that could particular be. Episode. I don't know. I watch it on Disney Plus, so you know, doesn't give a shit what the BBFC have said.
All right. Well, because I still have the physical copies, but if you're talking about digital, yeah, I was a little bit surprised because The Simpsons is not necessarily the most family-friendly cartoon. I mean, I've talked about.
It's not exactly the edgiest, though, is it?
Oh no, it's not South Park, and it's not like Legend of the Other Things sort of nonsense. But yeah, it's a bit on the rough side. I was a little surprised. Well, not that episode, but the one I was thinking of where Homer smokes medical cannabis, and the whole episode is pretty much just him getting high off and going to a rally where they're supporting legalization, and then he accidentally kills Mr. Burns after him and Smith has done a toke and have to help out his skeletal body at a meeting. It's very crazy. But that was one, weirdly enough, because I used to watch it growing up as a kid and then a teenager. They never aired that episode on British television that much. I had to see it when I was at university.
All right.
So it was a bit. I was a little taken aback by it.
Of course, I was thinking of the episode with George Carlin, the hippie episode. And of course, I mean, Homer tries to replenish all this hippie vegetable drink that they were making. And of course, he said, how did you get all the, how did you manage to do it? There weren't enough vegetables in the yard to, to replace the Shipment. Well, that's what I thought when I found that that other garden back there behind the chain link fence. Homer, those were our personal vegetables. Oh, good. Everyone get to join in. And of course, everyone starts getting stoned. And then you see Abe Simpson and Jasper sort of like sitting on that
Park
bench giggling. Yeah, like Beavis about to go, we're old.
I always thought that bit was hilarious because I couldn't watch Beavis and Butthead as a kid, but I saw that episode when I must have been like 11 or something, and I thought it was absolutely hilarious. And then the reference to sort of Pink Floyd's The Wall, great music movie, by the way, and the Talking Hammers with the Rolling Stones that saying, "Pucker up, Ned," and then he's like, I thought that was hilarious for some reason. Oh, sorry. I'm getting a little bit off tangent there talking about personal interests and stuff there. But if you're talking about animation, as far as substance abuse is concerned, well, Jay and Silent Bob's Super Groovy Cartoon Movie, that was an 18 certificate. I know, go figure. Mainly because the sexual references and you know, quite overt scenes of masturbated jizz spouting penis superhero, and obviously the drug humor, but I think it was the sex stuff that proceeded drug stuff.
Well, I've seen it, not seen it, so I mean, I don't really know. I've got no idea, to be honest, mate. I mean, you could just be, you're talking, I mean, you're not exactly preaching to the choir here, and that's
Well, if I'm talking Klingon, okay, maybe I'll rewind that back. Sausage Party. There was actually a bit of a fuss about the bath salt scene.
Well, it's probably a lot of fuss about a lot of things in Sausage Party, let's face it.
Some people said that scene was going to make children copy. But then again, they could have copied with that Simpsons episode of Homer Smokes Medical Cannabis, or that Archer episode where I think they're doing like some sort of solvent abuse. Terkel in Trouble was a Danish cartoon for adults, and that had a scene with an African boy doing glue sniffing. Past 15. If had that come out now, you probably wouldn't be able to show it, because one of the few areas that the BBFC is very strict on is solvent abuse.
Well, I suppose it is quite imitable, so I suppose that's a reason why. I mentioned Die Hard earlier on, and of course I totally just remembered, if we're talking about 80s action movies that involve drug use, of course there's RoboCop as well, because the scene just before Bob Morton's death, he's there just snorting cocaine with those two hookers and everything. And of course that is, they really go all out with that one. They're just like face buried in it, just sniffing shit ton of it, and then he ends up sniffing the cocaine off that other hooker's tits and everything. So I mean, that's, let's face it, I saw RoboCop before I saw Die Hard, but then again, I don't really remember that scene particularly well from my childhood.
Well, I feel sorry for you. I had to see it at that young because of that scene, which I will not do the sounds to, because it might give you trauma. But
it won't, for God's sake. I've seen the film enough times now to like put that to bed. Well, get the man a hand.
Hey. Yeah, but no, it is quite overt about the substance abuse. I think, you know, the 80s. And in all fairness, for anyone who's probably picked this up, RoboCop, to me, is like a comedy.
It just reminds me of two films, Scarface and Goodfellas.
Say hello to my little friend.
Because they just have people just doing cocaine on a, like, fuck. I mean, towards the end, I mean, the last act of the film in Goodfellas, Ray Liotta's character, R.I.P., his character is basically just snowballing the freaking, or whatever, the cocaine just on God knows what level. And of course you get a close-up on his nose and it's like just red as fuck, because he's just taking it, because he's just taking an absolute mountain of it. And I don't know where I'm going with that, but probably a reason why for its 18 rating, but don't know if that should really be would that be a reason for an 18 nowadays? Well, maybe. The town's a 15, and that's got some some quite a bit of cocaine usage in it, but probably not on this level.
I think the difference between the categories between 15 and 18 for at least cocaine use or any sort of hard drugs is process normalization, because 15 films can get away with quite a lot. I mean, I've seen Flight, which is the Denzel Washington movie where he's a pilot. That is one of the most graphic films I've ever seen as far as drug use is concerned. But I think the difference between that and Wolf on Wall Street is that Flight actually someone who was a broken soul and he tries to change his life and he ultimately goes to prison for the crimes that he committed, while Wolf on Wall Street sort of just plays out very loose, very comedic.
I suppose.
Very explicit scenes.
How could I forget bloody Wolf of Wall Street? I mean, fuck me, that is some fuck. Yeah, there's a lot of drug usage in that. I mean, I remember I sat down and decided to watch it for the first time a few years back, and of course, you know, we've got a clear schedule because it's 3 hours, but it is quite enjoyable. But fucking hell, the way he just goes for everything that he takes, and I can't remember that thing he says to begin with. He says, "I use speed to get me going, part to mellow me out, and blah, blah, blah." And it is a morphine because, well, it's awesome. And then forget the Quaaludes scene towards the end, which have a quote-unquote delayed effect.
And he was like, on the floor trying to move. He was like, get quiet. I haven't seen the film. I was at university at the time. I thought, well, now I know for certain you can't get an NC-17 based on drug use.
Because also think actually has
graphic sex as well and very strong language.
I think he actually did get an NC-17 to begin with. But they
think it's more the sexual content that probably was the alarm bell for the censors more so than the drug use.
Maybe the swearing, because it does contain the world record for F-bombs.
I don't know. That's a bit debatable, really. I mean, the only film that I can think of that got an NC-17 for the swearing outside of Clerks before it was appealed to get an R was Swearnet, which is Trailer Parker Boys.
They say South Park almost got one. They say they put in 399 swear words in total because the MPAA said if they put 400 swear words in, they would give him an NC-17. So, I mean, at least that's what I've heard.
No, actually, I heard the same thing too. I'm just probably thinking of modern day criteria where they're a little bit much more loose and flexible with the rules regarding drug use and profanity at the R level than, let's say, X or NC-17. There is one film that comes to mind that did get the higher rating because of the substance abuse, as well as those other scenes of sex and sexual assault, was Bad Lieutenant.
Not seen that one either.
Not the Nicolas Cage one or the Harvey Keitel?
Neither.
Well, I'll put it this way. The NC-17 one that has Harvey Keitel and it's quite a nasty film. But as far as like the depiction of illegal drug use is concerned, it's actually not that different from where you get in like Trainspotting or Flight or Wolf on Wall Street or Babylon, as far as I'm concerned. This might have been because of certain other factors that were involved. Because there was also a graphic rape scene in Bad Lieutenant, Harvey Keitel. The Bad Lieutenant with Nicolas Cage is just him freebasing and smoking crack off a pipe and God knows what and doing blow. And it's also played comedically as if you're like watching a stoner comedy. If you haven't seen it, please do. High off Bailey's on the rocks. It's always better when you watch stuff with Bailey's. A message from Diageo.
Those things are probably pretty good when you're when you're drunk or you're a bit high and everything. Although you may miss a lot of what's going on. I mean, I lost count of the amount of films I was watching was absolutely balls to the wall blotto, and as such, I cannot remember what the fuck happened. In fact, only a year or two ago, I sat down and watched with my middle brother Nick Loves the Business with Danny Dyer and Tamer Hassanin. Have you seen it?
I have. Nick Love is hilarious.
Hilarious, yeah. Hilariously bad, but hilarious.
Well, I mean, he did a Football Factory and outlawed Charlie Bright. Yep. I'm probably one of the few people who has actually seen Goodbye Charlie Bright, but
I've not seen
that point. Yeah.
Anywho, that was the Much first...
The heavy was... on drug use.
Anywho, it was the first time I'd seen that movie, sat and watched that movie, while actually sober enough to actually pick up what was going on. And I was just sitting there going, what the fuck? I don't remember this scene, or this scene, or this scene. It's like, what? Jeez, just remind me just how shit-faced I must have been every other time I'd fucking seen it. Because, like, so many scenes were missed, because we'd just get back in after, like, a night out on the town, and we'd be absolutely steamed. It was like, oh, let's put on the business. Like, oh, yeah, dude, let's do that. And we'd probably just pass out half the way through with absolutely no clue what was going on. I mean, obviously, we just watched business for a sheer stupid dialogue and everything, but still.
Yeah, most people are going to be watching a movie like that because Nick Love appeals to the FHM Zoo crowd and right-wing Daily Mail nuts.
I know, it's... They've got
pints of lager and a packet of crisps.
Oh, God, that now is a bad TV show.
Hey, I'm appealing to early millennial nostalgia, just like I'm appealing to mid or late millennial nostalgia with in-betweeners. I think that more show was more concerned on sex than it was on drug use, but go figure. I was actually going to even point out anime, Japanese animation in general, does never features people using illegal substances, and the only one I can think of that does is Cowboy Bebop, which had an episode involving people getting high off mushrooms.
Oh, yeah, the little doggy takes some shrooms and bounces around hilariously. That was funny.
I was like, They actually aired that uncut, weirdly enough. I was in the US at the time I saw that episode, and I thought they probably would never allow an episode like this to air at 7 o'clock, or let alone anything below 15, really. But in all fairness, like, I think people doing magic mushrooms is kind of the same people who do LSD or cannabis. It's psychedelics.
Well, yeah, those are considered the more softer and more easygoing drugs, is when you start getting stuff like speed, ecstasy, and ketamine, that you and as well as cocaine, that you start getting into all the... what we call the harder stuff. When it starts getting into powdered or pilled form, we start to consider it to be, you know, the harder stuff. And don't get me started on anything that you inject. Oh. Oh, don't get me started on anything that you smoke in powdered form, because fuck me.
Well, nowadays, people are much more harsh on methamphetamines and fentanyl, which obviously has been quite a big issue lately due to the opioid crisis in the States, because they prescribe it. It's like OxyContin.
I found out a weird name that is, OxyContin.
I know.
Doesn't it have a more street name?
Oxy? You know, people are doing the pills because they're trying to cure their depression or some sort of serious medical matter. Rush Limbaugh was addicted to OxyContin, and he blames stoners and junkies for communism. But yeah, he's doing substance abuse himself. I think
he's a hypocrite.
In all fairness, there are no angels in society. There's a whole lot of grey in between. And I've confessed about my substance abuse, about doing cough drops a lot. And
hardly substance abuse, to be honest with you. Doing cough drops is hardly quite the same level as doing OxyContins. It's just the fact that, like, Rush Limbaugh would always, like, big up the war on drugs, and we condemn drug users and everything, and of course he'd be doing it himself, just like, well, don't go pointing fingers, you cunt. But Rush Limbaugh is dead and rotten piss.
Exactly. Him and Pat Robertson, they can all sort of have a closet gay gangbang
in hell.
Homosexuals so much, I'm sure they're hiding something if you hate gay people that much. PG-13 films actually get away with a lot more substance abuse than 12 films. Because think of the film Starsky and Hutch and Ray Charles movie with Jamie Foxx. Those two films had hard drug use. One of them had cocaine and one of them had heroin. They're quite frank depictions, mind you. But they were both 15 in the UK. And when I came to the States to visit family, as I do, I was a little taken aback to see on the back of the DVD cover it said PG-13, because I always assumed, you know, when I was growing up there, oh, they're probably rated R or something. Because I legally speaking, I couldn't see those two films at the time in the cinema, even though I was curious about Ray Charles because I always liked jazz music. But I now understood why, because he was like doing a little bit of the junk.
Well, yeah, I mean, the film Dude, Where's My Car has a 15 rating. I'm just assuming that's just because it involved involves stonerism and everything, which is, but that's all I can really
it's a bit weird really, because you know, they flagged up on Dude, Where's My Car to the point where for a long time I always thought that movie was rated R for some reason, until I came to the States and it was PG-13. I was like, oh shit, I could have seen that as a kid. But then,
well, again, to be fair, if it was R rated in the States, you can see it anyway, you just got to go with an adult.
Well, unfortunately, there was a little bit of an issue growing up where my mother was a lot more picky about if a film was an R-rated title versus if it was 15. Because there's, even though I had to explain to her multiple times, but you can take a person who's under 17 to an R-rated film. But she treated R as if it was like 18, which in some respects it can be, but it's not the same thing, so... There was some confusion at the times when we did visit the States. So I've always, for most of my life, followed by the BBFC system, then the US system by that, those metrics. So yeah, there was always confusion growing up around which system to follow, but the BBFC always superseded. I think the Simpsons movie, I know I go on about that a few times, but there's actually a scene where Otto smokes a bong. Inside the dome where Homer and Bart are driving on a motorbike to try to stop a time bomb, and there's a brief show of him saying like, what's going on? I was like, I did pick up on that when I initially saw it, but when I saw it on DVD, I was like, yeah, you can't show that PG, let alone you can't even show that much cannabis usage even at 12.
Well, evidently they thought they felt otherwise in that one.
I mean, it's PG-13 in the States for irreverent humor throughout, which you might disagree with me on this, but I think the Simpsons movie should have been a 12A. I think the US rating was more accurate than the British rating.
I don't think so, to be honest. I mean, let's face it, it is so... It's so mild. I really don't think... I mean, you could just say they're being lenient on animation again, but... No, I really think it was fine at PG. I mean, you can't come down too heavily. It's clearly aimed at a younger audience, although the 12A could go see it anyway. No, I mean, yeah, I'm going to have to disagree with that one. I can't really verbalise it particularly well, but, you know, softest disagreever.
Older. There's probably some UMPG films that's got some hidden drug references in the cracks. I know Magic Roundabout was the famous French cartoon that many of... your parents or your grandparents probably grew up on?
I never really watched Magic Roundabout much as a kid. And again, I don't know of any drug references, unless you mean the phrase Magic Roundabout is a slang for drug usage. But again, I don't know. So well, yeah, pass.
It comes in the form of the stoner rabbit called Dylan, who's always has his eyes drooping and is like, yeah, man, little tail right, bro. Well, that's me exaggerating.
Oh, yeah, but you could say that about Scooby-Doo, because it seems like a whole sort of metaphor for stonerism.
Oh, absolutely.
Especially with, like, Shaggy and Scooby always having the munchies. And, of course, Scooby Snacks seems like a freaking... seems like a slang for pot brownie.
No, in all fairness, Shaggy and Scooby always saw a little bit countercultural. I mean, they probably did it to appeal to that group of people there. The fact that there's a lot of people like us at our ages watching cartoons is a little bit unsettling, really. But I would presume a lot of those people are probably, countercultural anyways. I mean, who on earth is 35 years old and still watching fucking South Park or Beavis and Butthead? We could about do this priest till the cows come home, but you'll get like some Southern Evangelical Baptists about the perils of rock and roll music. Rocky Mountain High, John Denver, he had to testify in Congress for that very same reason.
That was back then, though. I mean, we have moved on quite a bit.
Absolutely, but old habits do kick in. I mean, look at all the outrage surrounding the song WAP. WAP means wet ass pussy.
No, I mean, a lot of the, let's face it, a lot of the TV, animated TV shows do the drugs. I mean, Family Guy is always talking about Brian's obsession with smoking pot. And, of course, the spin-off American Dad has Roger doing all sorts of drugs, mostly cocaine and everything. I mean, Futurama is a bit more subtle, where they talk about Hermes smoking weed and everything. He's like, one episode he goes, "My god, Hermes, the ruffians stole one of your cigars. That's not a cigar, and it's not mine." And also another time we're talking about legalizing human robot marriages as a very thinly veiled metaphor for gay same-sex marriage. We talk about legalize, and Hermes goes, "Yes, we've got to legalize it." Amy's goes, "We're talking about about robosexual marriage." I said, "We're talking about a lot of things."
Actually, that's one of the few revival series episodes I have seen, is the robosex marriage episode. But I do remember that one where he was sort of confused. Oh, is that Hermes' cigar? Because I think that episode actually dealt with censorship quite a bit of Bender. He's being this sort of foul-mouthed chaos agent on the telly. And the kids of Hermes and the ginger boy, they were like underage smoking. That was the scene in question that sort of caught me by surprise. I think they aired that on Sky One at like 6:30 or 7. And I thought, oh, I didn't know you could show children smoking in movies or TV, but I guess you can. I mean, like Grange Hill and Wondrous Oblivion, those are like UMPG works. And they've got children using tobacco products.
Again, it's tobacco. We're not talking about illicit substances here.
Take tobacco. Well, I'm sure there's a film or TV show out there that shows like a 10-year-old doing freebase. I know Tideland by Terry Gilliam had scenes of a child injecting heroin into her father's arm. And it really never has Jeff Bridges in it. And he's kind of doing that Big Lebowski thing yet again, but with heroin in this one and whatever he's doing in Big Lebowski. I know Tom, he's seen that film at a re-release, so he probably know a little bit more about it more than I would. The dude abides.
I've only seen Big Lebowski once, and I can't honestly, so I can't really comment on it too much. I know it's got a stoner comment in it. Of course, I do think stonerism and just other forms of drug usage are two totally different things. I mean, like I say, no one is shocked or offended or outraged by pot usage nowadays, recreational cannabis usage nowadays. Anyone who thinks there is lying themselves and probably thinks they're edgier than they actually are. Cough, Bill Maher, cough.
Well, I mean, how many people do you know who've seen The Mighty Boosh or got Dr. Dre's Chronic on CD?
I've not seen The Mighty Boosh, but yeah, I listened to Dr. Dre's Chronic. Albeit I just listened to the song Forgot About Dre.
Well, I mean, I had that on CD, weirdly enough, and growing up, I never really sort of picked on what that green leaf on the CD cover was. It took me years to figure out it was cannabis, but it didn't faze me, and that was one of the weirdest things I'll tell people, is that when I listened to music growing up, I was never told you can't listen to it because it's parental advisory. I've been listening to F-bombs and Suck My Dick and Fuck a Hoe.
Okay, I mean, that's fine. I mean, like I say, I was listening to Guns N' Roses when I was about 6 or 7. So, I mean, let's face it, they threw some flippant uses of the F word around like no one's business, so I don't think it really. So again, not sure it matters a huge amount.
No, it's just to audiences out there, it might be a little bit funny because, you know, people might be thinking, oh, you're a bit uptight and censorious, or you couldn't see this until you're old enough, but I've got a bit of a devil streak about me that people don't know about. Shh, must not tell. Most people who are drug users anyways, I've met over the years, are very paranoid. I'm probably one of the few paranoid people who does not use substances.
But weed has a tendency to make you paranoid.
That is true. It's just I've never touched it or smoked it, but I certainly know people who've used it who think that the man, dude. But and then Seth Rogen, obviously, he's known for that sort of thing. And I'm a big fan of Seth Rogen's movies. And most of his movies I've seen sober or maybe with like a blue moon, or like a chocolate brandy. That's about it. Gin and tonic.
Okay, fair enough.
I mean, for you, what's your favorite alcohol?
I just take the beer.
About 3 years ago, I had about a pint of cider.
Okay.
One. And the weirdest thing was I vomited for like 2 times that night. It was not pleasant. Since then, I've never had a cider. And I had to take pills for my gastritis and acid reflux. I've stopped taking them, but every now and again, if I have something too acidic, and this includes like orange juice or something like that, I've got to be very careful. So I'm bordering on teetotalism these days.
I was going to kind of like bring it to the world's end for just the case of alcohol. Let's face it, watching it always makes me want to go out on the lash.
I felt the same way too. That's a Edgar Wright movie not too many people sort of know about unless you're a fan of Hot Fuzz or Shaun of the Dead. But
well, it's the final finale in the Cornetto trilogy.
Absolutely, Bill. And it's, you know, made by a fellow West Countryman like yourself, Edgar Wright. And yeah, if they gave it, if it was an 18, it would certainly be for the alcohol. There's so much drinking in that movie. It's crazy. But in all fairness, it's fine at 15. I think it's just because of the F words.
And, yeah, well, and the C word.
My apologies. There are 3 uses of the C word. Even the scenes where they're fighting the aliens and there's blue goo and stuff was not a ratings issue. It was mainly just the language that was a bit too provocative.
It's language, pretty much. Talk about boozing and everything, we could be here all day and everything, because let's face it, unlike drugs, which are considered to be naughty and bad, booze is just considered perfectly normal, in spite of how much more how much more lethal it is than other forms of narcotics.
Absolutely. In most of my nightmares when I was growing up as a kid and a teenager were from drunk driving ads that were from Think. So those were my sort of horror experiences with sort of drug use and movies and television. Was going to cinemas, people were in pubs being hit by cars.
Yeah, well, I mean, and like I say, if you're stoned and you're driving and you get an accident, who cares? You're only going at 4 miles an hour.
Exactly. Well, it impairs your judgment. So drunk driving, don't do it. I've been with someone who was inebriated, and it is not a pleasant experience.
Well, no, I mean, you shouldn't drive whilst drunk. It's a very, very, very bad idea. Let's put it that way. Right.
Always make sure you get a taxi or bus home, whatever is more affordable. But yes, sir.
It's handy for me just living in Cardiff and everyone want to go out and just walk it. So I go out and get absolutely bollock brained and I just trudge back with no need for, or I could just get a taxi or an Uber, but nah, I just walk it.
Hey, I wouldn't blame you there. When I was last there, God, so many drunk people and the sight of vomit nearby the chippy in the kebab shop. I almost thought I was going to pass out right then.
Well, I guess that's covered everything there is to cover on this issue. Well, I mean, much we could cover without being here all day. So, Yeah, I guess. Yeah, thanks for having me on, Mark.
Anytime there. Next time we'll be talking about espionage movies. Stay tuned when Dead Reckoning Part 1 comes out. Till then.